Well, in the history of the world and in the future, mourning is, there's definitely mourning. But there is one mourning in history that changed everyone's life, and I hope that you can claim it.
Amen.
That is the mourning that our Savior walked out of the tomb.
Yep.
And this song pertains to that. And if it doesn't bless you, as they say, your wood is wet.
Amen.
So just enjoy it. They all walked away, nothing to say. They just lost their dearest friend. All that it said, now he was dead. So this was the way it would end. The dreams they dreamed were not what they seemed. Now that he was dead and gone, the garden, the jail, the hammer, the nails, how could a night be so long? From afar, the wedding, the water, the wine. And now it was done, they'd taken her son, wasted before his time. She knew it was true, she had watched him die too, she had heard them call him just a man. But deep in her heart, she knew from the start, somehow he'd live again. Then came the morning, night turned into day, the stone was rolled.
Glad to have some visitors here with us tonight. Brian, is that your name? Come up here, brother, and tell us who you are and what y'all do. That whole row of them there. Tell them why you're here and what's going on. You had a pretty little interesting story there to tell me. And I want him to tell you tonight. Not the first time I ever met this fella. He may be a hit man from terrorist. I don't know. No, he's not. Go ahead.
We decided we was going to come here tonight to hear some real preaching. We're from Johnston County, about 20 minutes from Raleigh, and churches around our area, they just don't preach the truth. A few months ago, we started praying, and we ran across Brother Danny's sermons online. And until we find a church, he's our preacher. Unfortunately, we got to listen to him online instead of come here. But you guys are blessed to have a minister like you got, somebody that preaches the truth, which is something we're lacking today. And I'm thankful to be here,
Amen.
To hear it tonight.
Amen. Glad they're here. 20 miles from Raleigh, it ain't no wonder you don't get here nothing. That's the wickedest
place. And thank y'all. You can be seated there, ladies. Well, why don't you? Well, if you let one thing stop you, you'll let anything stop you. Look. That's right. You could leave about 6 o'clock on Sunday morning and then stay here with some of these nice folks or my house and then go home Sunday night and be home by 12 and get in a good day. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Church alive, worth the drive. That's what they say. But seriously, when you get past Winston-Salem, North Carolina, just as sorry as anywhere else. It is. That half of North Carolina that way, the further you go, the worse it gets. The further you go to the mountains, the better it gets. It's because of the education stuff down there, that educational triangle. It poisoned it. They've moved in a bunch of nuts, and it's just a wicked... When I drive through there, it's just a different atmosphere than it is here in the mountains. And I'm telling you, they're infiltrating the mountains. Asheville's getting, as you know, bad. And you know why they hate Asheville? Because Asheville's right smack the buckle on the Bible Belt. And that's they want to snuff that light out. That's the truth. So thank the Lord for you folks being here, and it's just wonderful to be here. They say the more educated people are, the less faith they have in the Bible. You know what that means? There's something wrong with higher education. That's what that means. There ain't wrong with the Bible. Ain't nothing wrong with the Bible. If something makes you have faith, less faith in the Bible, it ain't right for you. Amen. Now you know what? Read this. You know you're living in our century when you buy a computer and 6 months later it's out of date and now it sells for half the price you paid for it. You know you're in this generation when you leave the house without your cell phone, which you didn't have the first 20 or 30 years of your life, and you panic and turn around and go back and get it. Number 3, you use real money instead of credit or debit to make a purchase would just be a hassle and takes planning. Number 4, cleaning up the dining room means getting the fast food bags out of the back seat of your car. Number 5, your reason for not staying in touch with your family is that they do not have email. Number 6, you consider second day air delivery painfully slow. Number 7, your dining room table is now a flat filling cabinet. Number 8, your idea of being organized is a multicolored post-it notes. 9, you hear most of your jokes online and instead of in person. Number 10, you have to get an extra phone line so you can get phone calls. Number 11, you disconnect from the internet and get an awful feeling as if you pull the plug on a loved one. Number 12, you get up in the morning and go online before even drinking your coffee. Number 13, you wake up at 2 in the morning and go to the bathroom and check your email on the way back to bed. You're an addict. You need help. You need counseling. Serious counseling. Amen? When you wake up in the middle of the night like that. One night I said, a professional photographer, people don't want to look good, want to look bad in their photographs. They want to look good. So a local professional photographer has a lot of requests for him to do retouch photos. You know, now they can touch you up. They can make anybody look good. They can take the spots off your face and straighten out your nose and everything. Them people in the magazines, they don't look half that good in real life. Don't let them fool you. And it said they have a lot of requests for people to get rid of the crow's feet, chop off the love handles, and that sort of thing. And one woman, pointing to a family portrait, she said, "Can you take 30 pounds off of me and put it on my sister?" Right beside her. That's the day we're living in. You don't know what's real and what ain't. Let's turn the Bible to John chapter 9 just for a minute tonight. John chapter number 9, and I want to read you a familiar story here, and I'm not going to preach long tonight, just a little thought, just this evening on this man here in the Bible who was blind And I'm not going to do like I usually do. I'm just going to give you just little quick thoughts, okay? John chapter 9, and let's look at verse number 1. We're not going to read it all. It's 41 verses. But I hope you know this story. John 9, 1. And as Jesus passed by, I'm glad that he does that, don't you? Glad he passed by me one day. You should be glad that he passed by you. The night I got saved, Jesus passed by. Just like he did in the Bible, he's still passing by tonight. Thank God. Thank God we go to a church. Hey, brother. Thank God we go to a church where Jesus passes by. And it said, I saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, now don't you look at this. Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? They had this idea, hold your finger there, that if a man was born blind, that he must have done something awful bad, or his parents must have done something awful bad. And the Lord said, in this case, it wasn't either one of them. See what he said? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So the Lord let that man be born blind so he could heal him. You know, God does some mysterious things, don't he? Somebody said, boy, them parents must have been awful mean. Their kid was born blind. That don't mean anything. If that was true, all of us would have something bad wrong with our kids. But God's been merciful to us and let them be born healthy. He let this man be born blind so he could come by here and touch him and heal him and work a miracle to prove that that's who he was. So that sometimes God lets things happen to us so that he can work through them and get glory to himself. I've had things happen to me and I thought, why, Lord? Why? 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 And then later on down the road somewhere, see something that says, there's why. I told somebody the other day, when that girl got killed, Melissa, the other night in that car wreck. What's her name? They was all back there this morning. Ann and Lisa and all of them were sitting back there this morning. That girl come up there and on that 321 down there, coming up from Gastonia to Hickory, and run smack into the back of that truck. And little girl got her little sister out, Mackenzie, got that little girl out, her little sister out of the car, and as soon as she did, a tractor and trailer came by and smashed the car and killed her mom, 27 years old. And they was here at church, most of them, this morning. And you think, and you know what? I went over and sat at their house that day, and I sat there and saw that mama crying. Boy, I went up that little driveway, a little trailer sitting up on a hill, way over yonder in the woods, on the other side of the north. And that mama's just sitting there bawling, them little kids, and she's crippled. And all them little kids around her crying and crying and wallowing all over. And I'm telling you, it broke my heart. I started crying, and I don't usually do that in people's house. I do in church a lot, but I don't usually start crying. And I said, Lord, I don't. And the whole crowd, Roy and all, there's about 15 of them in there. And we had a little church service. And I sat right here, and they all crowd around. And I said, y'all, I can't tell you why this happened. I don't know why this happened, but I know one thing. God in heaven don't make a mistake. And when God does whatever God does, it's always right. Earth's the place for trust. Heaven's a place for understanding. We don't understand it now, but thank God we'll understand it better by and by. These parents didn't understand. When that little boy was born blind, they thought, why, Lord? Why? And thank God they understood it when Jesus passed by. And I don't know what's going on in your life tonight. I don't know how bad it might be at your house. I don't know how bad your marriage might be. I don't know how bad your health might be. I know one thing. If you're a Christian here tonight, the Lord passed by, there is hope. There's a reason for what you're going through. Thank God Jesus can pass by. Now let's read a little bit more, and I'm just going to give you a thought or two, and we'll be done. Jesus said in verse number 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And when he had thus spake, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. That's one of the strangest things in the Bible, as far as I'm concerned. A miracle. He spits on the ground and makes clay out of it and puts it on that guy's eyes. Talk about humiliating, embarrassing. There's a lot in that. You got to humble yourself to get some help from the Lord. You can't come to the Lord like, all right, God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. I've heard people try to bargain with God and make deals with him and say, now, Lord, if you'll let my wife come back, I'll live for you. You come to God and you say, look, God,
Lord, I've had it. I'm on my face. I'm going to live for you no matter what she does. I'm going to live for you no matter what he does. Lord, come hell or high water, I'm going to live for you. That's when you get help from the Lord. I'm going to tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that's where this boy got. Lord, put that spittle on his eyes. And the Bible said, verse 7, he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation is sent. He went and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, when they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that was sent and begged? Some said, this is he. And others said, he's like him. But he said, I'm he. So some of them said, ain't that blind man? Didn't he used to be blind? And they said, yeah. Well, he ain't now. Maybe that ain't him. That's just somebody that looks like him. He wasn't like some of these characters you meet downtown nowadays. They go like this. Had one guy down there. Begging like that, you know. And he was going like, alms for the blind. Like that right there. And guy came up and gave him a quarter. And he saw him looking at him and said, man, that's just a quarter. He said, hey, you ain't blind. Give me that money back. And that guy said, no, I'm not. But I'm just standing in for the blind man who is usually here today. He said, well, where's he at? He said, he's gone to movies. But you know what? This guy really was blind. He really was blind. He couldn't see, and I'm not making fun of it. Brother, it's like, I'm telling you, nothing, no sight at all. It was real. The Bible said, he said this, and look, I want to hurry and get on down here and show you something the Bible said. Bible said in verse 13, they brought the Pharisees to him that aforetime was blind. And it was a Sabbath day. In verse 15, the Pharisees asked him about it. And he told them what happened. And they told him in verse 16, that man's a sinner. And in verse 17, they said, why, what do you say of him? That he's opened the eyes. He's a sinner. Verse 18, the Jews didn't like it. They called the parents. And verse 19, they asked the parents, how did your son now see? And verse 20, they said, I don't know. He's old enough. Ask him. Verse 21. And then look at verse 22. They spake his parents because they feared the Jews. Verse 23, they said, ask him. He's old enough to answer for himself. So in verse 24, they called him and they said, give God the glory. We know this man's a sinner. And here's the good one. He said in verse 25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, whereas I was blind, thank God now I see. Buddy, that's an answer right there. There ain't a PhD in the country could have given a better answer than that. There's not a professor at the University of North Carolina down there where these folks live that could have given an answer any better than that. So I don't know him. I don't know much about him. I don't know a whole lot about him. I know one thing. I used to couldn't see, and now I can see. I tell you that, I learned the same thing. When I was 18 years old, I met the Lord, people. I met him. I didn't have a religious experience. I didn't turn over a new leaf. I didn't get baptized and join the church. Something happened to me, and somebody said, what happened? I said, I don't know. I don't know a verse of Scripture. I don't know nothing about the second coming. I don't know nothing about the tribulation. I don't know Old Testament, New Testament. An epistle might be an apostle's wife for all I know. But I'll tell you one thing. I was blind. Now I see. Thank God in heaven tonight. I'm glad I can see tonight. You know what? If you know you're saved, you know more than most people in the world. And I want to talk about them just a minute tonight, and we'll go. Look, think about his blindness. Just as we are spiritually. I wasn't blind physically, but I was blind spiritually. And most people in the world tonight are blind spiritually. And the Bible said, you ever heard anybody say this? I don't see why you want to go to church all the time. I just don't see what you get out of that. I don't see why you read. Why do you read the Bible? I don't see why you won't go to this place. I don't see why you won't drink. I don't see why you don't. You hear what they're saying? I don't see. I don't see. I don't see. You ever had your family tell you that? I don't see why. You know why people, if they don't see, they're blind. They are blinded spiritually. They can't understand why you got to go to church every Sunday. They just can't understand it. They say, but why do you have to go every Sunday? And why do you have to? They're blinded spiritually. And the Bible said that we was like that. I was blind before I met the Lord. I didn't go to church every Sunday before I got saved. I felt guilty every Sunday. I knew I should be in church, but I didn't see no sense in it. I do now, buddy. I do now. I once was blind and now I see. The Bible said that Jesus passed by and he saw him. He saw him. Now the thing there is, Jesus saw that man. He couldn't see Jesus, but Jesus could see him. That's shouting ground, ain't it? Hey, the night I got saved, I couldn't see the Lord, but thank God He could see me. It's more important that He see you than that you see Him. Boy, I'm telling you, His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His deliverance. His eyes were anointed with clay. That represents conviction. He was told, go wash. There's a fountain. You know what the Lord told him? He said, you go down there, put a little conviction on his eyes, and he said, you go down there and wash in the pool of Siloam. So he went down to there tapping like that, you know. Or he had that dog like that. Well, I always up there at the flea market. They got a sign right there that says, no dogs allowed in the flea market except C&I dogs. And I stood there and looked at that sign. Who is that sign for? Who's that sign for? No dogs allowed except C&I dogs. Anyway, this guy, he said he couldn't see the Lord, but the Lord could see him. Thank God he got his assurance. He wasn't responsible for being born blind, but he was responsible to go wash and get cured. Now you listen to me tonight? I've had people tell me all my life, they said, well, it's not my fault the world's in the mess it's in. It's not my fault I was born. I have these wicked tendencies and I want to get drunk and I want to party and I want to... It's not my fault. No, it ain't. But it's your fault if you don't do something about it. It ain't your fault you get sick, but it's your fault if you don't go to the doctor and get help. I'm telling you, it's not your fault you're a sinner, but it is. Listen, if I set this building on fire tonight, it wouldn't be your fault, but it's your fault if you don't run out of here. Say amen right there. Listen, brother, it ain't my fault I was born a sinner. It come from my daddy. People say, well, it's not our fault we was born a sinner. Why do we got to go to hell? Because it's your fault you don't take the remedy. If God made a way out and you don't take it, that's your fault. His confession. Amen. You're not responsible for being born a sinner. You are responsible for getting help and forgiveness of your sins. Do you understand? You're not responsible for having a wicked heart growing up. You are responsible for not getting something done about it. You are responsible. It's your responsibility. Notice his confession. Also, the neighbors asked him. They knew he was different. They couldn't explain it. I mean, brother, he just told them what happened. They said, what in the world happened to you? He said, this man named Jesus, I'd never heard of him before. He came by and put clay on my eyes and I went and washed and I can see. They said, listen, you've had no religious training. He said, I sure ain't. What makes you think you can instruct us? We're very religious. He said, I ain't trying to tell you guys nothing except I couldn't see and now I can. And somebody named Jesus did it. That's it. That's it right there. That's it in a nutshell. We got people making religion so complicated. You have to be confirmed. You have to go through this many steps and all that. No, you don't. You just got to come to the Lord. He washes you. You can see. It can happen. That's why people all the time say, when we have a bunch of kids get saved, youth rally, people say, do you believe all them little kids really know what they're doing? Let's ask a better question. Do you adults know what you're doing? That's the real question, ain't it? Them kids, the Lord said, come like a little child. The Lord said, them little kids know what they're doing better than me and you do. The older you get, the meaner you get. And the dumber you get spiritually. Listen, them little kids believe every word in the Bible. They believe Jesus. They trust Jesus. You done got so smart, you don't trust Him no more. I'm telling you tonight, the Lord didn't say for a child to learn how to come like an adult. He said, an adult come like a child. I've heard people say, those little children should wait till they grow up and come in as an adult. You got it backwards. The Lord said you adults ought to come like them little kids. Didn't I know the way to say it? That's why I believe in Bible school. You say, you mean you let a five-year-old come up here and pray? Absolutely. Absolutely. I wouldn't let them come up here and cut up and laugh and make a mockery out of the altar. But if I had a five-year-old want to come up here and pray, you better believe I'd come with them. And I'd come with them and pray. And I would say, honey, you seek God. Listen, Kathy Parker, y'all know Kathy? She's one of the best friends I got on this earth. She's my piano player for about 20-something years. About 20 years. And I know Kathy said she got saved when she was 4 years old. 4 years old. And she's lived for God all her life. You know what her testimony is? She She says, I was on 4 bottles of milk a day when the Lord saved me. Amen. I'm glad, boy, the Lord can get them when they're young. I'm telling you, the greatest testimony in the world is not a football player that got off, just come out of the methadone clinic and been on drugs and ruined his life and shot his wife or something. That's not the best testimony. The best testimony is somebody can say, I got saved when I was 5 and I never been on drugs and I never been on alcohol and I never been drunk and I never went to the devil's places and I lived for God all these years. That's the greatest testimony. He said, I don't know who he is. I don't know where he come from. But he opened my eyes and I can see. I can see. I remember going through that. People ask me questions. Well, what about this, Danny? What? I said, I have no clue in the world. All I know is something happened to me at that church that night. And now I can see. He had his assurance. Has that ever happened to you? Has it ever happened to you? If it ain't ever happened to you, you need to do that tonight. I mean, have you ever come to the Lord and let Him wash you? Have you ever come and said there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins? Teenager, young lady, young man, has there ever been a time when the Lord washed your heart? That's why you have such a hard time. Let Him wash you tonight. He'll help you out. Amen. They saw Him going to church, reading the Bible, giving out tracts. He's going out giving out these tracts. They said, I don't know who you think you are. We're way more religious than you are. You know, religion is one of the worst things in the world, if not the worst thing. Religion sent more people to hell than liquor has. False religion. You say, well, ain't you religious? Not very. I'm saved. I'm a saved Bible believer. That religion gets you in trouble, buddy. Amen? Pure religion's the right kind, His assurance. He couldn't answer their intellectual questions. He knew almost nothing about Jesus, but he said, I know one thing. I used to couldn't see, and now I can. He never been to Bible college. You know what that means? It's not what you know, it's who you know. I used to have this boss man over here, that place right off exit 100. It used to be called Highlander. All you old people remember when it was Highlander. And I worked there when I was just a teenager. And just got out of school and I went down there and got a job. And I had this boss man. He was a big old guy. I played ball on their team. And he liked me because he was big and I could get him the ball. And we had a good ball team. Big black man. His shoulder's about that wide. And his name was Walt. And I don't know whatever happened to old Walt. And old Walt, he'd come in drunk on Tuesday, miss Monday work, and he'd get away with murder. And you couldn't help but like him. He looked like Wilt Chamberlain. And he'd come in. I used to talk to him, and I'd say, and me and Walt was good buddies. And I liked him because he's strong as an ox, man. And he was sort of like my boss man. And we got along real good and everything. And one day I asked him. I said, Walt, how do you get away with all this stuff? You come in when you want to, leave when you want to. He said, no, what you know is who you know. And I ain't never forgot him saying that. And that's truth, brother. You know, hey, people, you're looking for a job, you know, it ain't always what you know, it's who you know. Right person, you know. And then, you know, when it comes to God and church and religion, it ain't what you know, it's who you know. If you know the Lord, you know more than a PhD that knows Greek and Hebrew that don't know Jesus. So this little boy one time, he's sitting out in front of the store like this. Little kid, and he was whittling. You know, kids used to whittle before they had all these little thumb games. You got a twitch. You're going to develop a twitch if you don't get lay off them things, boy. Kids, I'm telling you. You're going to grow up with a twitch. Your thumbs are going to twitch your whole life. They'll bury you, and you'll be like that right there in your grave. But They'd whittle the bark off of, and this guy, about that time a big Cadillac pulled up, and this guy come in, big fancy guy caught out with a suit, you know what I mean? Right. And he stopped me over and he said, hey, which way does this road go down here? Where does this go? Little boy said, I don't know. Just kept whittling. He said, well, what about this one that turns this way? Where does it go? And the kid said, I don't know. He just kept whittling like that, and he said, kid, come on. What about the back of the way I come down here? Which way does this go? Where does this road go? He said, I said, I don't know. He said, don't you know nothing? Kid said, I know I ain't lost. Just keep going. And you know what? They ask us a lot of questions, people. They ask us questions we can't understand. We don't know a lot. We don't know a lot about Hebrew history. We don't know a lot about archaeology over in the Holy Land. I tell you one thing, brother. I know I ain't lost. I know I ain't lost. I know I'm saved. Hallelujah. You know you're saved. You know more than 90% of the world. We ought to just take a August shouting fit and hallelujah, say hallelujah. Glory to God, it's good to be saved. Still good to be saved. Still good just to be saved. I mean, people's trying to learn this and learn that. Get way up yonder and learns here. They say, oh, I want to go hear somebody preach something deep. I tell you what you need to do. You ought to just never get over just being saved, having your eyes open, and knowing Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. His testimony. It started to get to him a little bit. Did you know a real young Christian that's on fire for the Lord aggravates a fire out of them lost religious people? They can't stand them. Some of you, when you first got saved, you went to work. You started trying to witness, and all these big geniuses that's been saved for 10 years that never witnessed to you suddenly got real religious and started trying to straighten you out. Said, you shouldn't go to that church, and I don't like Danny Castle, and da-da-da-da-da, and you're not Baptist or wrong, you should be this, and you be that. Where was it all them years you was living in sin? They wouldn't say a word. Suddenly, as soon as you get saved, they come out of the woodwork trying to straighten you out and make you Jehovah's Witness or something. And boy, I'm going to tell you something, brother, they couldn't stand that guy. They couldn't stand him. Long time ago, I must have been 19, I reckon, 20 maybe, probably 19 or 20. I was at Rose's and Marion preaching, and we'd preach on the street every Saturday, and I mean every Saturday. Just like I preach in church every Sunday now, we preach on the street every Saturday. If you didn't preach on the street on Saturday, you was a hypocrite. You was backslid. I mean, there's about 20 of us. And boy, I tell you, we'd get out there, and one day I was preaching, just like I am in here. I didn't run around as much, but I'd preach just as louder. And this woman walked by, and she wrote a note and said, give this to him. And when I got through, I looked at it and it said, dear sir, do you have a mental problem? That's what it said. I'll never forget it. I hurt my feelings, man. I hurt my feelings. I've got feelings too. Do you have a mental problem? Is there not a church that will allow you to preach in? Do you not know that this is there's a time and a place? I want to write her one back and say, dear retard, do you have a mental problem? Who's ever told you that the only place you're supposed to preach is church? Yeah. As a matter of fact, every preacher in the Bible was a street preacher, including Jesus. Yeah. Every preacher in the Bible. If you know a preacher around here that never preached on the street, he's not a biblical preacher. That includes 99% of them. I'm telling you, brother, that Paul and Silas never had a church. Barnabas never had a church. Most of the disciples never even seen a church building. They never even had nothing like this. They preached outside where the sinners are. That's how crazy this generation is. Jesus preached some of his best sermons. The woman at the well. One person. Somebody said a man should never counsel a woman alone. I reckon he sinned that day then, right? That shows how dumb you are. But anyway, the Lord said, don't take that wrong either. It just shows how unbiblical you think sometimes. The Lord never sinned. He never sinned. How dare you accuse Him of sinning? Anyway, I didn't write one back, but I wanted to. Sometimes when you want to do something mean and then you ask forgiveness and not do it, it's not near as bad as really doing it, but it would have felt good. It's like a man told me one time, he said, I don't want to pay my tithes. He said, so I don't want to. I resent it, so I probably shouldn't, should I? And I said, no. You do it whether you want to or not. That way it ain't but one sin. Yeah. Not wanting to. if you don't do it and don't want to, that's two sins. Not doing it and not wanting to. But go ahead and do it anyway. That ain't but one sin, just not wanting to. And so he had an assurance. And then finally tonight, he had persecution. Don't be surprised if you, quote, catch it when you get right with God. Don't be surprised if your family give you down the road. My family, some of my family, before I got saved, Didn't even want their kids to hang around me because I played rock music. And I was in, they said, that Danny Castle, he's mean as a snake. And I remember we had our band played at school one time, and I had an aunt. Sean Heather knows what I'm talking about. She's not here no more. But I had this aunt, and we got up and played. Our band started playing in school one time, and we didn't have it that loud. I had an amplifier about that high, and my aunt stuck her fingers in her ear and run out of the school like this right here, making a statement. If you don't know who it is, I'll tell you after it's over. And she said, that Danny Castle, he's mean. And then I got saved, and I got my hair cut and threw my guitar down and picked up a Bible, and they said, he's crazy. He's gone crazy over religion. I said, which way do you want me to do? You know what they want? They want you so religious. And they don't like it when you really get right. They don't like it when you get on fire. They don't like it when you go out and preach on the street and get out crying, tell somebody about Jesus. They want you to be just smooth religious people. They give that old boy down the road. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you, when you got on fire for the Lord, some of your kin folks tried to pour cold water and say, now just, one of them, they said, now Danny, you can't win the whole world. I said, that's the devil talking to you. It is. That was the devil speaking to them. You need to just chill out. You can't save everybody. Well, who's? I never said nothing about saving everybody. We're supposed to try. We're supposed to try and win the whole world. I'm still trying. Might not get it done, but we're supposed to try. The Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Not pour cold water on somebody's trying. One of the biggest sins you can commit. You'd be better off to sell crack, brother, than to pour water on a cold Christian and discourage them and get them knocked out of church. Man, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people doing it. I've heard of men getting on fire for the Lord and their wives saying, you're disgusting. When they're raising your hands, praising the Lord. You know what happens to a woman like that? She don't ever get to have a baby. That's right. You know why God don't let some women have... No, I'm not saying all of them. Some of them, they make fun of old-fashioned worship. That's what Michael, David's wife, did. Made fun of him shouting and give God's man a hard time. God didn't let that woman have a baby. You better watch how you treat a preacher. You hurt God's man, he'll close up your womb. He did it in the Bible. I don't explain it. I'm just telling you that's what it says. His ridicule, his persecution. You're carrying this too far. You're a fanatic. I had a boy's mama tell me that one time. This boy, we was all going to give out tracts. And she said, now look, boys, I'm proud of you. I'm glad you boys are going to church. But you can carry this too far. He's not going, and made that boy stay home. And he wound up going back, getting in a rock band, and was out one night and was all drunk. And four of them got killed in a car wreck. Because his mama thought we was carrying religion too far. This and I'm through. His satisfaction. He worshiped Jesus. He said, I want to see the man that opened my eyes. They said years ago, there's this man born blind. And all his life, he'd never seen nothing. And his mama told him about the trees and flowers and rocks and mountains and everything, how pretty it was. And they said this doctor from England come out with this certain kind of highly advanced surgery where he was helping people that was born. Like he'd go back in there somehow or another and behind their eye and fix it, and was having a great success rate. And that doctor traveled to the United States to help this boy. And they said, look, we ain't got no money. We can't afford it. And the doctor said, I want to work on it. I want to see if this works. I'll do the surgery for free. And so they put him in surgery. And he's done that surgery on that boy's eye. This has been way back years ago. And they said they woke up after the surgery and laid there. And they said, was it a success? And they said, son, we don't know. And they said, put about 30 bandages over top of his eyes like that. And he said, take off one a day for 30 days. And he said, peel off them strips of tape every day for 30 days so that if the light comes in, it won't be so bright on him if the thing was a success. And every day for 30 days, they'd go in there in his room, take off one of them bandages. Finally, it got down to 10, 9, 8, 7, down to 2 or 3, down to that last bandage. And boy, they pulled that last bandage off. And his mama was going like this. And she said, oh God, oh God. And they said that boy just kind of opened his eyes like that, and he said, "Mama, I can see. Mama, I can see." And she said, "Come on, son." And she took him, laid him out in the backyard like that. And it was a beautiful day. And they said the grass was green. The trees was blowing, and the breeze was blowing the trees. And the little boy looked up and he said, "Mama, is this heaven?" And she said, "No, son, it's our backyard. And this is the tree we've been telling you about it." He said, "Why didn't you tell me that it was this pretty?" She said, "We tried to, but you couldn't see. We tried to explain it to you, but you couldn't see." I mean, that's the way we are. We're trying to explain being saved. And somebody said, "They can't see. They can't see." And he said, "Son, what do you want to see?" He said, "Mama, this is beautiful." And he said, "Mama, I love you. And I love to see the trees and the rock." But he said, "Mama," he said, "I want to see the man that opened my eyes." And they took him to that doctor and let him meet him. I said, "Glory to God, brother. Listen, I've seen a lot since I've been saved. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to look and I'm going to see mansions and I'm going to see streets of gold and I'm going to see the saints and I'm going to see..." And about that time, I'm going to say, "Somebody, show me the man that opened my eyes. And I'll see the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll see him with these eyes. And I'll live with him." Glory to God. If I don't shut up, I'm going to shout. I'm glad tonight we're going to see him, people. We're going to see the Lord. I shall behold him. I shall behold him. Because he opened my eyes. And he opened your eyes. We shall behold him. Amen. Let's stand together with our heads bowed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Miss Desi's coming to play tonight. Our heads are bowed.